Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? You know, if this message from Ezekiel were a sermon, it might well be titled, Who Do You Think You Are? Who do you think you are? Remember the people that Ezekiel is prophesying to. Ezekiel is prophesying to the Babylonian exiles, the children of God who were exiled in Babylon for their sin. Unlike the rest of the prophets, Ezekiel and his contemporary Daniel were the only ones who prophesied completely to exiled people who were away from the promised land. And while they were in exile, apparently this proverb, this saying, was sort of being bandied about. The fathers have eaten unripe grapes, and the children's teeth are made dull, is the gist of the Hebrew. Or as our translation says it, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. We don't know exactly where this little proverb comes from, but you can sort of imagine an old wives' tale, right? Don't eat sour grapes or your teeth will rot. Right? Kind of like don't eat too much candy or your teeth will rot. But the problem here was that the Israelites were using it this way. Our fathers ate the sour grapes, and now we're the ones with the rotting teeth. They were basically saying, it's not fair. This isn't our fault. We didn't do anything wrong. It was our forefathers who sinned. This is just not right. They blamed their situation on someone else, their forefathers, and had no hesitation to gripe about it. But wait, there's more. Yes, there's always more when it comes to sinful human creatures. The depth of our self-justification knows no limits. Not only were they blaming their forefathers, they were blaming God himself. They declared that his ways were not just. Like little children, they were whining, it's not fair, this isn't right, this is unjust. So, God tells Ezekiel to give them a message that amounts basically to, who do you think you are? Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? And if God wanted to marshal any kind of evidence to back up his claim, he had a whole host of things to choose from. He could have gone all the way back to their Egyptian slavery, how he graciously delivered them out of the hands of the slaves, brought them out of the Egyptians' grip, and brought them into freedom, only to have them turn around and grumble because, well, Moses brought us out here to die. God could have reminded them about how he graciously kept his promise to Abraham to give them this land flowing with milk and honey, and after 40 years in the wilderness, he actually gives them that land. He graciously commands them, don't intermarry with the people of that land to protect them from idolatry. But what do? Well, they disobey him, and wouldn't you know it, they end up in idolatry. He could have reminded them about all the wicked kings of Israel and Judah who ruled over their nations and because of their wickedness won exile for God's people. Whose ways are not just here? Because it would seem that God's long-suffering patience is about as abundant as his people's habitual sin. I mean, if every generation before them had fallen into exile-deserving sin, what made them think that they were any different? And so God's point here is not that the Israelites were wrong in their historical facts or something. I mean, it was certainly true that their fathers had sinned and landed them in this situation. But what God is concerned about is that they were using this excuse to dismiss their own sin, as if they were nothing but innocent victims of someone else's poor decision. And if you're going to blame someone else for your situation, if you're going to ignore your sin as if you deserve better, well, then God must apply a deep, deep dose of the law. So he does. It's your ways, O house of Israel, that are not just. The soul, the life, the individual who sins will die. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. I mean, it's like God is sort of corralling his people into a corner while they're busy pointing at their forefathers until finally he's got their backs against the wall and his finger pointed square in their face saying, you have sinned and there's no one else to blame. The message that God spoke to them is equally applicable to us. I mean, you know the age-old question, right? The question, why? Why are bad things happening to good people? Right? And I know I've said it before, but my response to that is always, what good people are you talking about? Because Scripture is quite clear that there is no one good. No, not one, Romans 3. And even if we think that we are offering something good before God that will win for him a little piece of, win for us a little piece of his favor, the scriptures are also quite clear that even our good deeds are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64. See, to ask why this bad thing is happening to me, a good person, or blaming your situation on someone else, assumes that you somehow deserve better from God. It betrays the fact that you're not actually realizing that every nanosecond of every day of your life is pure gift from God. Whether you're wealthy or weary, joyful or mournful, at peace or in doubt, incredibly healthy or deathly sick, everything you have is given to you. You don't deserve any of it. The breath you just took, the heartbeat that just kept you alive, you deserve none of it. And yet God graciously gives it. And yet when things get a little tough or challenging for us, we dare to waltz before God and say, your ways are not just. It would seem that our back is against the wall. God's finger is pointed straight at us. That's actually not a bad thing. Because if you stop to think about it, if you take your sin seriously as that which separates you from your Creator and wins for you eternal damnation, you don't want God's justice according to your human way of thinking. I promise you don't want God to deal with you on a humanly just level, because if he did, then we would all be spending eternity in hell. That's why God exposing his sin, our sin, is actually a very good thing, because once God has exposed our sin for what it is, then he's prepped us for the promises that he has to give to forgive that sin. Promises that he can only give to sinners. Promises that depend only upon his mercy and not upon our goodness. You know, in Romans chapter 3, Paul says that it's through Christ that God is able to be both just and the justifier of those who have faith in Jesus. And what he's talking about is that there's sort of two realities going on. The first is that God is just. He's righteous. He must execute his wrath upon sin. He cannot do otherwise. And yet he's also made this promise to justify and forgive sinners. So how is it that God can be holy, righteous, and just, and yet at the same time forgive sinners? The answer, only in Christ. It's only in Christ that your sin can be fully judged and you can come away unscathed. And you see, that's actually the promise here in Ezekiel. It might be hard to see Jesus here, but he's here in verse 30. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, declares the Lord. And God certainly does. He judges every single one of our wicked deeds. It's not like he was kidding here, but the good news is that the punishment for those deeds, the punishment for your sin, is placed fully upon Christ instead of you. When Christ comes to this earth, he comes to be and to do all that the children of Israel, all that you failed to be and to do. He comes to a people failing to keep the law so that he can keep the law in their stead. He comes to a people whose sin is great and immeasurable so that he can take it upon himself to make it non-existent and to satisfy the wrath of God for you. He is the whole house of Israel reduced to one perfect, righteous person. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel. And God does. Upon the cross of Jesus, your sin is judged. All of your wicked ways are placed upon Christ so that God looks at you with nothing but favor, nothing but grace. Who do you think you are? I suppose that's not really the right question to be asking. Doesn't really matter who we think we are. What matters is who God says we are. And God says that through his crucified and risen Son, you are holy and forgiven and righteous and pure in his sight. So turn and live. For the very one that you turn to is he who takes all of your sin and removes it from you as far as east is from west. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.